if we declare aggression against a nation or against a foreign national or even against one of our own citizens, how do we carry it out under our rule of law today on principles and policies? Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me, as usual, is Chuck Michaels, our Vice Chairman and Technical Guru.
Yeah, well, Guru, not so much. Glad to be here.
Okay, so I have to take Guru off the list. I have to take Expert off the list. I'm just going to call you our all-around Jack of all trades.
There you go. I'm Jack of all trades, master of none.
Well, there we go. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, if you were listening yesterday, we talked a little bit about who can declare war or aggressive actions against those countries or individuals who seek to do America harm. And we looked at our Constitution, which is our rule book. That's the basis of where we seat our rule of law. And we get power. We, the people, give power to our elected officials, limited, enumerated powers. And we saw that yesterday that the only branch of our government which can declare a war is our legislature, the Congress. The president is the commander-in-chief of our armed forces and the militias when they're called under the duty of the United States. But it is the Congress who must be the ones who actually make the declaration of war. But they have another function, and it deals with what we've been talking about this week with the case of Anwar al-Awlaki, and that is that they're the only ones as well, our Congress, to be able to, as it says in the document under Article 1, Section 8, grant letters of marque and reprisal. Chuck, help our folks if they're just tuning in today. What are we talking about a letter of marque and reprisal?
Well, a letter of marque and reprisal is a document passed on a joint resolution in our particular case of Congress and the Senate that basically sets out the parameters by which damages can be recovered from a nation who is allowing its citizens to conduct warlike acts, piracies, that kind of thing against the citizens
terrorist
of the United
bombings.
States or the yeah. or the United States itself.
Okay, so basically, this is something that Congress says, "Hey, we've identified or we've had brought to us and identified that Anwar over here is a bad guy. Anwar is." Is sending people to attack us. Anwar is planning and masterminding these beautiful things like bombs in people's underwear, specifically to harm American citizens on American soil. Now, there's a little catch here. Anwar is an American.
Yes, he's an American citizen, which puts a slightly different face on it.
It does. It puts an American face on it, even though this American... doesn't hold to the American view of law and government, who actually is a member of the militant group Al-Qaeda, which makes him an Islamist. He practices Islam, and he believes in jihad against America, as I believe Muammar Gaddafi had put it one time, or Ayatollah Khomeini, the great Satan, the United States, because obviously to so many in Islamic and world, especially in that militant Islamic faction of the world, America is the great Satan. So what does the great Satan do when one of its own decides to turn traitorous?
Well, one of the problems you've got is he is an expatriate. He doesn't live inside the borders of the United States, and he was being harbored by a foreign country.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as we know, he did not renounce his American citizenship. However, he was acting, giving aid and comfort to someone who had declared themselves to be an enemy of the United States, and he did make war against the United States.
Okay.
Now, if you go to Article 3, if I'm not mistaken,
okay,
we will find...
The judicial power?
The judicial power.
Wow. Well, we're going to be all over the Constitution with this
right.
case, aren't we?
Because we're in the top three. The big three are
big
the
three.
That's right. The Article 1 is always the powers of the legislature. Article 2 is always the powers of the executive. Article 3 is always the the powers and duties of the judiciary.
Okay.
Now, why would we go to the judiciary to talk about things like treason? Well, there's a very good reason, and that is that there is a little section in, I believe it's in both Article 3 and in Article 1, that does not allow the Congress to pass what's called a bill of attainder.
Okay, yeah, here it is in Article, I was just there because I was looking at Article 1, Section 8, but I'm over in Article 1, Section 9, and it says that no bill of attainder or ex post facto law shall be passed. Now, bill of attainder, bill is B is capitalized, A is capitalized, and I think we said yesterday that when the founders wanted us to realize they were trying to make a point or that something was important to them and we needed to grasp that concept, they didn't have the same rules of grammatical construction that we have today. Capitals weren't just used for proper nouns. They were used to make emphasis or to highlight something. And so bill of attainder is capitalized here, so that means that they wanted to highlight that. So what is a bill of attainder?
Well, a bill of attainder is a finding of guilt by a body other than a court.
Oh, so wait a minute. So you'd say that, so this is saying that no bill of attainder shall be passed. So in other words, it's saying that Congress can't find somebody guilty of a crime by legislative act.
Well, an attainder by its nature is treason.
Oh, I think I'm starting to see this now. Okay.
That's right.
So they cannot declare, so Congress can declare war. They can write a letter of mark and reprisal and issue it,
mm-hmm.
but they can't declare somebody to be committing treason.
That's right. That's up to a court.
Wow. Okay. So basically, if for Congress, and let me see if I get this straight. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope I am, because maybe I'm getting lost here, but I'm no our constitutional student. Chuck, I won't say expert, but he is really an expert.
Teacher.
Okay, he's a teacher. He's got this put together. Okay, so Congress cannot write what they call a bill of attainder, which is basically saying that someone is guilty of a crime that Congress has now declared a crime, and they've said, well, you got to go after them.
They've basically, really, it's also an ex post facto law, because they've said,
well, they have that in there too. Yeah,
you've performed this act.
Uh-huh.
And we say it's a crime, and therefore we are passing this bill that says you are a criminal.
You are guilty of that crime. Okay, so they can't do that. Now, who does do that?
Well, a jury.
Okay.
And judges, and a grand jury indicts.
Okay.
A judge with a jury tries, and once the trial is completed, if the person is then guilty, then he is attainted.
Okay. And you said attainder is the same as treason. So
yes.
And so if then somebody is then through the court system found to be guilty of treason.
Yes.
Then what? Okay. Well, first of all, where does it say that in the judicial section, which is Article 3?
Okay. Article 3, Section 3.
Okay.
Treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them, or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort.
Okay, well, so treason, there's only two things that can be, that the courts can rule are acts of treason. The first one is levying war. And W is capitalized in here, right. So war was obviously an important concept with them, with our founders. So was treason capitalized, but it started the sentence, so you might miss that. So number one, levying war. Number two, adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort.
Yes.
So in other words, you can commit treason against the United States by loving the enemies of the country and giving them aid and comfort. I would say, now, on the face of it, given the fact pattern we have here in front of us with Anwar al-Awlaki, that he would definitely fall under the second section of this, of giving aid and comfort to al-Qaeda, who more often than not, and with a significant amount of attention on September 11th, 2001, have declared that they're enemies of the United States. So
I would agree.
So therefore, Anwar al-Awlaki has committed treason against the United States.
Well, he stands accused of committing treason against the United States.
What, you mean the court didn't go ahead and issue a finding of treason?
Let's go a little further in Article 3, Section 3.
Okay, great.
And we'll read the next sentence, which says, "No person shall be convicted of treason unless on the testimony of two witnesses to the same overt act or on confession in open court."
Okay, so basically, you cannot call somebody, you can't convict somebody of treason unless there's testimony in court of two witnesses to the same act. So in other words, if two people saw this guy put C4 explosive in his Fruit of the Looms and then hop on a plane, that would fall under that.
That's right.
Okay. So that or confession, which means the person self confesses. Yeah, I did it. I gave aid and comfort to our enemies. Yeah, I did this. I did that.
And it's pretty clear that he is confessing, but not in an open court. Now.
Right. Right, if, he had confessed. Because we're talking in the past tense now about Anwar al-Awlaki.
Let's go theoretically and say, okay, we indict him and we try him. He's testified against himself in public, and that could very easily be construed. Some of the tapes could be entered into evidence and that kind of a thing. And he could be convicted on, and that could be one of the witnesses. He could be a witness against himself on tape.
Yeah, very much so.
So the fact is that Congress cannot declare him a tainted. And in fact, the very next section of the Constitution, it's still it's Section 3, but it's a new paragraph. "The Congress shall have power to declare the punishment of treason, but no attainder of treason shall work corruption of blood or forfeiture during the life of the person attainted."
Okay, so this is still in the judicial section now. So Section 3 of Article 3, the judicial section, talks about the Congress.
Yes.
So it says the Congress shall have power to declare the punishment of treason.
That's right.
Is that letter of mark and reprisal we're talking about?
That is not the letter of mark and reprisal.
It's not that.
Nope.
Okay. So they can actually issue, what do they issue at that point? Declare the punishment of treason. So they're basically just declaring by law, they're saying treason is punishable by death.
Okay. Or spanky or having your fingernails ripped out, although cruel and unusual punishments are banned. So
they can't do that.
Yeah.
But that means that Congress can pass a law that's passed by both chambers and then signed by the president or let go into law to say, if you're found guilty of treason, we will execute you at dawn on the third day, whatever it might be. They can put that into law.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So they can do that.
Yes.
And they can issue a letter of mark and reprisal for our military to go after the person who the court has convicted of treason.
No, they would have to send the military into a foreign country to exact whatever the conditions of the letter of mark and reprisal would, and if they happened to capture the guy, then they would bring him back for trial as a traitor.
Okay. I think I'm starting to get this here, but I guess I've got another question to ask, and I guess we don't have enough time to get into it today, so maybe we can talk about this tomorrow. And my question is, if the only thing that the Congress can do, and they can either declare war against a nation, because you don't declare war against Joe Smith,
right?
You know, that's kind of silly. Or they can write this letter of mark and reprisal to direct the military to go in and do some things to exact vengeance. Well,
It's not vengeance. It is an attempt to gain justice. When no justice is available through any other means.
Okay, so I guess the question is then, since the president is the commander in chief, if the Congress has issued a letter of mark and reprisal, can he, as commander in chief, do what we've done here with this situation? By sending unmanned drone planes into a foreign country and killing an American citizen who I don't think we've seen a court issue a finding of treason against.
And I don't think we can get it done in the 20 seconds that we have left.
Stay tuned tomorrow for the answer to that question on Principles and Policies.
Join us tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. for Principles and Policies. We're looking forward to seeing you.